7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, so I will call to order the October 3rd, 2016 meeting of the City of Kirkland Design Review Board. We'll begin with roll call.
Carolyn Adams. Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Rooser.
Here.
David Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Here.
Okay, we have one set of minutes to read and or approve. I'll just waive reading them. Did anybody see anything in it that is not correct or needs to be modified?
Move
I didn't
approval.
See anything at all. Moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and second. We approve the minutes from, I should state that it is the August 15th, 2016 meeting. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. We are done there. Tonight's agenda is a single item, a conceptual design conference for the Verdant mixed-use project. And that's all we have. A request from the audience. Now is the time if anyone wants to speak on any items unrelated to tonight's agenda. Looks like we've got nobody. So we will jump right in. Before we begin, as I did on Arete, I will state that I have had a previous business relationship with the applicant, Mr. Pantley, from 20 years ago. I'd have to look in my archives to find out how long ago it was. In no way do I feel that relationship makes me an unqualified or impartial decision maker. If anyone has any objections, please let me know, and otherwise I will proceed as a decision maker on this project. Okay? All right, let's go ahead. Tony, you want to take it away?
Okay. Thank you. Tony Levitt, senior planner. All right. Again, this is for Verdant Mixed Use Project, file DRV 162101. And this is the conceptual design conference. The site is located at 330 4th Street. The site is located at the corner of 4th Street and 4th Avenue. It's immediately west of the applicant's project, which was Arete. To the south is a Shell gas station. To the southwest is the Capri project that the DRB reviewed and approved in 2013. And immediately to the west is a office use, and to the north is residential, multifamily residential zone. The applicant is proposing to construct a five-story LEED platinum certified mixed-use building that will include one level of below-grade parking connected to the applicant's Arete project to the east of the subject property, street-level commercial, residential lobby, and garage parking, and four levels of residential suites and studios above. The applicant has provided a context analysis for the site and general project information, which includes three building massing progressions and a preferred option. So again, tonight, the overall DRB process, DRB will be, as part of their design review, will be doing conceptual design conference. Later on, the applicant will be coming in with a design response conference as well as their environmental SEPA determination. And later, the staff will be issuing and approving building and grading permits for the project. Some of the key zoning regulations for the site, permitted uses. It includes ground floor, retail, and residential lobby. Residential lobby, the extent of the residential lobby is up for DRB consideration. Also, office would be allowed on the ground floor. Staff is in the process of working on an interpretation to allow that. The reasoning behind that is that the 4th Street and 4th Avenue are not pedestrian-oriented streets. As far as setbacks are concerned, the site requires a 20-foot setback from 4th Avenue and 4th Street. The code does allow for one-story retail to encroach into those setbacks and also at the same time increases the lot coverage for the site. The applicant can request minor variation to reduce the setbacks as part of the DRB process. Maximum height for the site is 41 feet. And additionally, there is an eight foot wide sidewalk required along 4th Street. So tonight, we'd ask the DRB to look at some of the design guidelines in terms of scale for the site. Some just things to keep in mind: architectural scale, vertical, horizontal definition, articulation of the building's top, middle, and bottom, human scale, and pedestrian plazas. Some of the key discussion items: what are the key advantages of the project? Identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing. Possible techniques include vertical and horizontal modulation, corridor treatment, and roof forms. Pedestrian orientation, we're going to want to have you look at how does the proposed massing and location structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment. What are opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces at the street level, i.e. plazas, outdoor dining, etc.? What are some of the key pedestrian connections, and how would the project engage pedestrians? And finally, landscaping. We're going to want to look at what are some opportunities for landscaping and open space on the subject property. With that, we're looking for the DRB to provide feedback on how the design guidelines found in the pedestrian-oriented design regulations apply to the proposed development. Additionally, we want you to help the applicant determine what models, drawings, et cetera, and other application materials that the applicant will need to submit with the design response conference application. And with that, I will pass it on to the applicant. Sure.
Okay, on the setbacks for retail, since it's not a pedestrian-oriented street, is it the same rules that if they are allowed to go all the way out to the street, to the sidewalk, if there's retail, or what is the setback there?
Yeah, so basically, if they're, the way the zoning section is set up is if you do retail on the ground floor, even if it's not required, if you do retail, then you are allowed to have that up to the property line.
And so does that include office?
That would not include office as presently proposed.
And are there any requirements on the site for pedestrian connections?
There would not be any as far as like through site connections. Okay. Not that I know of, no.
Great. So what are the requirements for office setback?
Office would be 20 feet, or you would have to have the resident, or you would have to have retail, intervening retail between the office. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. All right.
Is mine set up and ready, or?
I will need your, you have your flash drive.
Flash drive.
Okay. The primary one.
Okay.
We always bring two because once we did that and one of them didn't work, but we had the other one, so it was great.
Jeremy, just last time we were here, we had those down lights off. Is there a way we can do that again?
I don't know if you can adjust those lights.
No. It was only because we had the electrician in the building and had him flip a fuse.
I mean, I can dim them a little bit. If you
can
you? Well, as far as overall.
Maybe just try it. It's really bright on the screen.
Ooh.
That helps. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Robert Pantley. Most of you know me, I think. And thanks for having us here. We have our team here, and we have our architect, Dan Nelson, our landscape architect, Kathleen Reeder, our design leader, Hans, who's in the middle of the two of them, and then our lead AP, Angela Rosman. So with that, I'd like to talk about the beginning of Verdant. This is where we're starting from, is the existing older office building that had different design criteria in their thinking than they do than we do today. And we really started with an idea that we, oh, let's see, I need this little thing. with a concept that we wanted to bring lush and green. We're very sensitive about pedestrians. We'll talk a little bit about our results at Arete and how that all works together. Verdant is in the red square there. Is a lot smaller than Arete, obviously. It's smaller than Capri, and of course, compared to Kirkland Urban, it is smaller still. On the other hand, we want to do something that we believe is very special and very dynamic. And as we worked on this, normally in a design objective, we learned at Arete, we brought you blocks, and we really struggled that first meeting together until we pulled out what we weren't supposed to bring, which was a further development. Here, we developed it more for you because we learned from a community that's currently under construction in Redmond that when you're really different and you're bold, bring the board more information up front and then let the board tell you what they like and what they don't like. So that's why we spent the time and energy and money. And then ultimately, we couldn't get on your last session because your last meeting because it was already full, so we had two more weeks with a paintbrush and we kept working. With that, we start out looking at who are our neighbors? What does the architecture look like? We've got a very Spartan gas station to the south of us. We're very aware of it. We have Arte, which we're proud of. We have Capri to the west. And then we have our neighbors to the north, the one in the northwest corner, which is grade-wise quite a bit taller. And then our, you know, the suburban garage was the front entry 35 years ago when Park 54 was created. And then there's some things we did at Arte because we work with our neighbors. The bollards, we spent a lot of money. Those are $2,000 each for those bollards to stop the through traffic because it's a private street and they got tired of everybody driving through.
Why are they $2,000 each?
Because they're going to last forever. And somebody already ran into it one night and the bollard stayed, but the car, the bumper isn't as good. And we added landscaping in the back corner behind the bollards. We put in the fencing. We maintained the tree line. We redid their trash compact or trash enclosures, a couple of them. We added landscaping. We put the center aisle in the cul-de-sac for them. Just a lot of things that we worked with our neighbors. And then on the lower right hand is the entrance to the underground parking that we would use for Verdant. And that brings us back to starting with Verdant. What do we have to start with? We looked at the building because we only build LEED Platinum, and we looked at adaptive reuse. We looked at the function of the building. We looked at the parking requirements. We looked at expectations, and we said, you know, in this case, we don't think we can make this work. So we started fresh. We started with design guidelines. We really wanted to bring some really fun and interesting things to the pedestrian street and really integrate our landscaping as part of it, together with our courtyard that we've learned so much at Arete. So we started with the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That's really probably Nineveh, and that's another history lesson for another day. But there are some elements that we really liked. We liked the step backs that we see with the landscaped lush greenery. We liked the lower main level where we put the landscaping against the building and then held a more corridor-like sidewalk in front is what we thought. We also understand that in biophilic design, which we've really studied and worked through, is a more modern statement. Blending the two together has been our goal. And we also know that we really are dedicated to the courtyard experience. The European courtyard has been in Europe a long, long time. You don't see it very much here. We just finished Arte this last summer. We have had so many events, so many things going on, from the residents having events to the farmers market to sustainability tours to art fairs, and it's just part of really making a very great people experience. And of course, all five of our buildings have been LEED Platinum certified. We're also proud to say that while we carry more LEED Platinum certificates than anyone in the state by quite a bit, we also are over 0.5% of all the LEED Platinum certificates in the world. So we're very dedicated to making this work, from solar to activities and people places, making it nice. And I think that this is something that the city can be very proud of. Those tours, we've had people from New York City, Dallas, California, Denver, touring Arete. The word has been out, and it's been really quite fun, along with our local folks who we've put on for hundreds of people in our local community. So we start with a baseline, and we asked ourselves, well, okay, form follows function. We've all learned that, and we have something that I've said for a long, long time. The reality is form follows parking, 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 and parking. So with that, we went to the city. We talked about access through Arete because we have joint ownership between the two. I am the majority owner in both cases. We've allowed for an access easement to exist. Generally, you wouldn't get that. You'd get another curb cut. You'd get another entry point. We've been able to change that. We've done our parking layout down below. We've made sure the function of the building codes meet. We've dealt with grades. We then have our commercial and our guest parking up on the street level, very much in the keeping of Arete. So we started with this baseline, and we understood a sense of where we wanted to go. But before we did all that, we had to make sure that the building heights worked. So we analyzed our building heights, and we're a little bit lower than Arete, but our building heights work. And so we started with a base form. The good news here in this case, we have almost a full 20-foot setback from the curb to the property line on the north side. And we started with it wanting to do pitched roofs. We feel that we have a lot of flat roofs on the east side and in Seattle, and we're really promoting the concept of more pitched roofs. And then we developed it. We wanted a cascading environment that would also allow us to plant it out and to really make the dynamics work. We really fussed with this over and over again. And it started to mature itself. And the more it matured itself, the more excited we got. And we really worked on our roof lines. We worked at a strong base. We worked at a middle. And then it got to this point. Excuse me. And then, in theory, this is where we would come to you. And we said, the problem is, if you don't tell the rest of the story in biophilic design and the courtyard, it's a challenge to be sure. So we said, okay, let's take the other side and let's start looking at it. And we did the same kind of thing very quickly going through this. And we said, all right, let's start looking at roof lines. Let's look at how the wind blows. Let's look how where the sun lays. How does this integrate with our residential users? How does it work with the pedestrians? How does it work with the office and retail environments? So we really worked through the details. And then we said, okay, we worked through a lot of details, but is it code functioning? And so we got to code functioning and making sure that fire exits are where they're supposed to be and ADA works and the grades work from the garage down below. And then that set us up to a baseline. From the baseline, we knew we wanted to integrate a really high level of landscaping. When we've looked all over the east side, if there's a building that has this, please send it to us because we haven't seen it yet. And so we worked on the north side, knowing that we have a full 19 feet to work with from the curb to the to our building line, our property line, and really worked with saving the trees. We have our landscape architect involved, our arborist involved, and really looked closely. Also during this time, we've had our third-party waterproofing expert involved, together with doing our first lead charrettes. We went to the south line and said, okay, we have this very Spartan garage. How do we make that look? And I want to tell you right now that they've filed a quiet title action on the little landscape plants that you see in front. There's an 8-foot section of the north alley that was vacated by the city. We landscaped and we've been watering them from the beginning, so we don't think they have a case, but it's to be determined. The whole project here is determined as if that's a neutral territory, so we've been very careful to design so that we don't have to make a change. And then right now we look at Arete, we look at the back of the old office building, and we would have something more pleasant to look at with this. And that brings us to what we're about. We are about sustainability. We only build LEED Platinum Plus, and that means actually that we are, on average, we build 20 to 30% over the baseline of LEED Platinum. Ada, who runs Paul Allen's group, said in a conference I had with her, she said, you know, we did a couple. We don't see how it works. We make it work. We're very dedicated to this. And we know that our residents and the public loves the courtyard feel. We can do the wedding cake. We can squish them together and you know, do it that way. We think there would be a real loss in design to follow the more typical fenestration and modulation that we've seen. And so we have a strong base of concrete and glass. We then move up to center courtyards and the cascading landscaping, and then we have a roof form that's, we think, more interesting rather than just a single flat roofs. With that, there's, I do have a few notes here, though I'm doing most of this, obviously, because I understand it. We then had a lot of questions for you. Is this concept of the cascading gardens correct? Do you embrace the courtyard feel? Has our landscape screening on the north side working correctly? Have we dealt with the gas station's Spartan realities in the proper ways? The sidewalk right now, the way we've planned it, we have 16 feet we've created because the building is set back 5 feet from the property line in front. Can we do an 8-foot landscape buffer and an 8-foot sidewalk? Or would you rather have us come out and put street trees, and can we meander the sidewalk with an 8-foot sidewalk? Or would you rather see us maybe go to 6-foot sidewalks in some areas and 12-foot in others? How would you prefer to look at that? And then ultimately, the landscaping types. We've really worked through a lot of them. I have a plant list if someone's interested, but just up for a baseline, but do we do more deciduous? Do we balance the deciduous with more conifers and evergreens, or do we go with more evergreens? What's the sense and feel that you would like to see in this? And then ultimately, we have a four-story art piece in the center courtyard, and it's quite interesting. It's metal-based, very much like you have in the entry here at City Hall, but obviously much larger. And does that feel right? The material types, the dark brown is a metal panel. We see a Nietzsche type of stucco panel for the cream colored. And, you know, what's the feel that you think we've achieved here? And understanding, again, we have to meet the LEED Platinum criteria for plantings. And so it's very detailed and very integrated. A lot of natives, a lot of native adaptive, and low-use water. But we also want to have some color and flowering, particularly at the pedestrian level, and planted probably 4 times a year. And like tulips, don't require a lot of water, but they're beautiful. And we have a history of tulips here in our tulip farms in Kirkland. And that's why you see it at Arete as an example. So with that, we'll take questions.
So could you... sort of outline what the differences are really between this and Arete? What the themes are. And
first thing we wanted to do is we wanted to be a complement to Arete, but we wanted to be different. We didn't want it just to be an extension. But we also know that we will have a functional tie. If you want to use this courtyard and you're a resident of Arete, you can. If you want, you're here and you want to use the facilities at Arete, you can. We have cross easements, from a design standpoint, we had an averaging concept at Arete where our forward decks come all the way out to the front property line, and the sidewalk there is a public sidewalk on our property, and we have parking underneath it. So we took an averaging here, and actually we have more step backs here than we have at Arete. By example. So we looked at that, but we still have some parts that are farther forward because it's more interesting, we think, to bring some elements forward. And the design code, and the city of Redmond's working on their design code because they're really struggling. Yeah, and when I was on their code rewrite commission, we gave it to them, said, you got to fix your design codes. And it's because it's so defensive. Everything we're trying to protect is the bad, but we don't really encourage the great. And we're just stepping forward and saying, do you feel like this really embraces you? Does this get you where you want to go? And then we'll work through the details with you. Are our material types right? How you feel about the landscaping? How do you feel about the cascading gardens?
Questions?
Yeah, just like the details on the setbacks, the 20-foot that's required on both 4th Avenue and 4th Street, yeah. And what your actual...
So we have a... Let me see if I can get this right. Oops. What'd I do? No.
Well, our page 29. Or 20. Where are we with? 29,
20. Hans with the.
Are you looking to get to the preferred site plan, Robert?
No, I'm looking to get to the roof step backs.
That would be earlier.
Or is it earlier? Okay. All right. There we go. So if you look at the Eagle's view of this, the retail commercial space in front is 5 feet behind the property line. It can go all the way to the property line. We want it back 5 feet in order to give that more landscaping depth. Then the second...
Go ahead. Back up. I think our plans say that that's office, not retail.
No, it says both office and retail. We've had discussion with staff and... Right now, we're prepared to go retail and office combination. So we will be retail at this point, and we'll figure out what that means exactly. But it's a struggle to do retail in this location, but there are some retail uses that you could make work.
Your plans, I think the plans in your packet say office. I noticed the plans tonight said retail office.
Right. So we've moved to... and we would like to put our long-term corporate offices at this site. We are officed at Arate, and we don't have any more room left. So we are designing it, and we're very mindful that, you know, we'll be spending our working hours here. And then when you get to the upstairs, once you get to the third floor, you're actually behind the step back. We have one section on each corner going forward because we just think it's architecturally superior versus having everything back 20 feet and then you go up. But the averaging works.
So you're saying that you have an average of 20 feet?
Yes, more than an average of 20 feet. That was the comment at Arte's approval that, well, if you're going to have the courtyard, then we're fine with that. And there... We go 2.5 floors at Arate up at the property line, and then we step back 13 feet. Here we go up one floor at the 5 feet back of the property line, then we step back a full 20 plus.
And on the north, it's set back 20?
No, but if you have retail all the way out to the north, then in theory, you should be able to put both your parking and your retail to that line.
But the building above doesn't set back.
Again, you're right. We have to make a decision. Do you want the courtyard, or do we give up the courtyard and go to the wedding cake style? And that's really the question.
Yeah, and I think it's just good for you to actually say we are requesting, you know, a 2-foot setback, and in exchange, we're giving this, and to quantify those pieces.
All right. And then just for historical standards, the approval at Arte on 4th Avenue with no buffering was 5 feet setback.
Other questions?
Could you explain again? I guess I kind of missed it as you're going through it. You were talking about some landscape buffering, that there was some disagreement over, and I didn't quite catch the details of that.
I'm not sure.
You said the existing existing landscaping.
The gas station. Yeah, I think it was in relation to the gas station.
If you see the 8-foot vacated half right there, right at the bottom of the drawing.
Okay.
So we've left that. The property line is on the south side of the existing evergreen hedge. Okay. They're making a claim they own the existing evergreen hedge, even though we are been watering it for
so it's the shell.
It's so the shell
station.
It's
that white outline or that correct. Clouded area there. Okay, I correct. Got you. I got you.
Are they? I'm sorry. Are they claiming just the hedge or that whole?
Half? No, they're the whole half. You know, why go for half when you can go for all of it?
When was that vacated? Does anybody
know? 30 plus years ago. It's a long time.
Was it for a development? Or?
No, the city vacated quite a few. They vacated this alley that went all the way through Arte also, and then they vacated the alley to the north that kind of goes through 4th Avenue. It was an extension of 4th. The vacated alleys are kind of all over the city.
So did they, at the time, was it assumed that each property got half?
That's state law. And then, you know, they've just claimed adverse possession. And, you know, that's to be determined. They also want to put a car wash there. And they would need that property to put the car wash there. And we've offered to trade them and do other things. But and we have a meeting with them coming up. But you know, we're just proceeding as if it's neutral territory, and you know, if they come in for any development, they would have to get your approval. So,
so that could affect your openings on that side, though, if that property line is.
We've designed it as if that property line is on the north side and not in the middle.
Okay. And how tall is the concrete there from the top of that, you know, hedge to the top of your second level?
Right there? Is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about the south side?
Yeah, on the south side.
Oh. That's from the sidewalk grade, it's roughly 12 feet tall.
So are those trees you're showing, are those the existing hedge?
Yes. And we have pictures of it if you want. Look at it. I can see. There it is. That's the existing hedge. It's very, we took photos and overlaid it onto the drawings to make, we work very hard to be accurate. We're human beings and we make mistakes, but we work very hard. So I don't know where you want me to, I'll stop here.
Survey showed a couple easements that are on the, I guess it's the 4th Street side, and then a easement off of the property line on that south side.
That's a PUD easement, and so we'll just trade it out. Okay. It's what we did with RTA, same thing.
It's not for utilities and anything
no,
else?
No, it's just for okay. PUD. Yeah.
Okay. And the description initially said it's kind of a flattish site, but it seems like there's a little bit of grade, is there, I mean, coming in on our side?
Yeah, if you look at this drawing, it gives you a sense. There's a roughly a 2.5 foot rise from the middle grade, from the center courtyard up, and then roughly 2.5 down.
Okay. And that center courtyard is essentially the same elevation as that public garage that comes in off of
correct
4th Avenue. And do we,
yes.
we have to drop down quite a bit to get in there?
It's about a 5% grade. Might be a little steeper right in one spot, but then it flattens out to 5%.
Okay.
Gets to 2.
With tenants renting these units, I assume, who maintains the hanging gardens?
Oh, we do. It's just like Arte. We do everything. So these are for rent. By code, they cannot be condominiumized. So we maintain, if you go to Arte, we maintain everything.
So you go into their private balconies? And
We have that situation in Arte. In some cases, yes, we do, and we have a maintenance schedule, and it's just fine. We also have some places where you come out from the hallway and can get to most of them.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're up on the roof, you know, we have tie-offs, and we have hatches, and, I mean, we do this.
With hanging type plants like that, I'm not a plant person, so I kill them all, no matter what kind they are. But are those typically more deciduous type plants, or is there maybe a bunch of kind of the dead hanging gardens in the winter? Or
no, we like live and green, but that's a board decision also because there's choices. Kathleen's here if you want to ask her anything specific to that, but you know. Street trees have always been deciduous. I'm not sure. I've always felt that was always should be the case, personally. But, you know, those we like lots of green in the wintertime. But we are looking for board direction. What do you want? You want more green in the winter? You want less? Where do you want us to head?
The roof plan showed, and you can see two of them from here, but there are four flat tops up there, the one that's got the big tree coming out of it. Those are taller than the allowed flat roof.
No, actually, it's more a perspective issue that they're right smack the same. Now the trees are taller,
right?
But not the.
But they're at the maximum load if they're a 4 and 12 pitch.
Well, that is a question we had. We originally had those as pitched roofs.
Okay.
And we know that you're allowed a certain amount of flat roofs with the pitched roofs through our approval at Arte. So we said, which would you prefer? Do you want us to do a pitched roof there, or would you rather have us put the gardens up there? It's obviously, quote, cheaper for us to have a pitched roof. But we thought that it would be pretty dynamic to have those gardens up on top.
We're the ones that did Arte. I guess I didn't realize we had flat roofs that were outside of the minimum 4 and 12.
Yeah, generally it's elevator. The interiors of the roof that can be flat. You can do a mansard to make your 4-12 work.
Is that true, staff? I mean,
if you do if you have a mansard area inside a pitched roof, then obviously that area is going to also be at that higher height, but typically it's within a pitched roof. So I'm not sure. But I don't think the DRB has discretion over the height. I think it's more of a staff interpretation, and I'm not aware of anything in RTA where a flat roof goes above the.
No, it does not.
Yeah. Okay. Because I know the code talks sloping roof or pitched roof, and it's kind of a fuzzy definitional thing. Is it sloped only at the edges, and then when we get to the inside, that theoretically the
always approved the peak. So at RTA, you'll see a similar roof form to this. They've got the benefit of the height bonus. Mm-hmm. And you'll see portions also that slope back that are a mansard roof, so it's not going to a full peak way back in the middle of the roof form. It's going up and appearing to be a pitch roof, and that's been approved in the past.
Okay.
How much is the height bonus?
5 feet. Up to 8. It's 5 feet at
312.
312, and then goes up to 8 feet at
412. Yeah.
So, there's no elevator. There's a single elevator, correct?
Correct.
And so, is there anything an over roof or anything for that? Or
yes, the code allows for the elevator to go above the height limit.
Right.
And that's a modification by staff, and there's notice with that. So that's what we do with our.
Do we know how many? It seems like the tops of those is going to be a little bit higher than the four.
We can show that detail for you. At Arte, I think it ended up being 5 or 6 feet, something like that.
Okay.
I can't remember. Maybe it was 3'9". We have two elevators, so I'm trying to remember which was the highest.
Okay.
But it, you know, you don't see it from the street level. You know, you just. It's hidden in and behind. But you can see Arte's elevator going above the roof line at the end of the courtyard. But it's in the middle of the project.
So how does it work with trees sticking up higher than that's the exception would be granting then, right? Plantings and things like that sticking up above maximum height, right? I mean,
plants count.
They don't count at all, so just, a tree can just keep...
Just structure, I think, and that's probably not considered structure.
Somehow figured out how to get a cedar to grow up there, you might say, well, let's let it, that's okay.
Are there occupied roof decks on the top?
Not on top.
Actually, of all the green cascading terraces, what are any of them public, or are they all attached to residences?
The way we've learned to do this is we have some private, but a lot of, when we say public, do you mean common areas or we have a lot of common areas. All of the second level decks there, that's all common. We have multiple common rooms toward the back of the project. And then areas up here, the cascading decks, is a mix of common and private. Mostly common. We have mostly common areas. That's what we do.
You mentioned, the retail might be a little more of a challenge in this just given the location, kind of back behind a gas station and getting into residential. Well, having the landscaping out in front of that retail, do you feel, is that going to be, make it a further challenge if it's, it's already a little bit, what do you envision there, I guess? Maybe?
Well, again, these are my, I sign on the dotted line, so I take the risk. A lot of people said that about Arete, and I feel they were very wrong. Mm-hmm. So here, we see we don't think we need another nail salon, to be really honest with you. But at Arete, we had an opportunity to bring in a named bank, and we brought in DeRue instead, their little brother. And I can tell you, at a lot less money than banks pay top dollar. We don't think a bank, and banks, there, we, I'm confident we can put a bank in there. And it meets all the retail code. We want to have a people environment. So we'll find a way to make that work. And one of them is we have some of the nonprofit art communities that would love to have a retail center, for instance. And I think an art community retail center would be very appropriate there.
Any other questions directly to the applicant? From the board? Okay. Now would be the time for any of the public, singular public, to speak to this project specifically.
Looks good to me.
Okay, I guess that was not a not an official comment, but it was from the gallery.
Sorry.
Okay, let's jump right in with our deliberation. I see no reason to... take a break or anything else. Anybody want to leap in? I'll start. I typically don't, but I'll start right away. Usually at our conceptual design conferences, we see multiple, up to three.
Not the progressive.
Massing schemes that present different alternatives for mass, bulk, whatever you want to call it. And here we, progressions kind of, I thought, well, that's not a different scheme. And then I read the caption, and it is progression rather than a different scheme. I see why this probably is their preferred, because it meets a lot of their goals and desires right at the get-go. But I wonder if there are some other things that need to be explored. So I'll just throw that out there and see if there's...
That was mine.
My main comment too, and my other comment was, okay, they haven't really captured, the courtyard's not going to look like this. It's going to be dark. And so, yes, in the summer, in the afternoons, it will have sun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, the center's going to be very dark, and then the front of it is very nice, but we're looking at three very flat sides.
Other sides. Mm-hmm.
And, that really in the packet wasn't, explored totally.
True.
It it's not that I'm disappointed in this design. It's very nice. It's, you know, but it would have been nice to see three options that we could pick. They kind of put all their eggs in one basket.
True.
That was the first thing I wrote, you know, the thought coming in here was, yeah, we didn't have, options weren't presented. And I realized sometimes there are technically three options presented at this first meeting, and you kind of get baited into the preferred option anyhow. They're almost intentionally unattractive, the first two options.
One and two, just sort of throwaways.
Of course we choose the preferred option. That looks nice too. But nonetheless, I guess I did... Maybe I shouldn't say bristle, but it was a little, you know, made me a little more anxious just because it did feel like, well, there's no options. It's just we're running forward with this, and you know, we didn't really explore other potential ways of massing orientation on this site.
But. M plus, I almost would have appreciated, even though they wanted to go to the detail, I would appreciate it. Not the detail. I want to see the massing and no trees, because we're not going to get a building with these trees. A LEED was not going to let them have these trees. They're going to be more native. It's just not going to look like this. This is a mock-up. This is the glitz. So let's see it without the, let's see the blocks. Let's see what it's going to be.
But in the third progression, that's what we get.
Yeah.
Well, we show no, we see okay. some. Well, the massing preferred. That's what we get. I mean, it shows some greenery, but it shows the trees.
And on their favor too. Maybe, you know, maybe they did themselves a disservice by calling it a progression and not saying option one, two, and three.
Oh, really?
Because option one would have been an option without the courtyard and a more solid mass. So we're kind of just missing the two.
You kind of start with what's your envelope. Well, yeah. Here's everything we could do and how we, you know.
Well, and your point about the essentially east-west courtyard not receiving a lot of sunlight, the on that massing preferred, it sure looks to me like that the shadows that are cast in this model are not at this latitude at any time of year around here. I don't think that's possible to do to see what we're seeing there. I may be incorrect, but I know June 21st, do you know, solar noon, we get about 65 degrees maximum of you know, elevation. You know, the option that I'm not seeing, and it's directly to your point, is where's the courtyard that faces kind of north-south, a la Arete, where you do get, I was there today walking through it, and you get sun all the way to the back, you know, over the big second-story, you know, deck area. The east-west corridor is there.
Yeah, part of it is because the gas station's right there. They don't want to have cascading views of the gas station.
Well, it is a challenging site because their main borders are face north and west, I guess. So,
but the bridges in the middle are, I don't think they're public bridges like Arete has. Mm-hmm. They're basically hallways to get to the common areas, to get to the kitchen, to get to the laundry, to get to the elevator. They just happen to be exterior, mm-hmm. you know, hallways. The bigger one there, that if I'm correct, that one right there that's heavily landscaped is still, I believe that's just level two of residential, that is a little fancier than perhaps the ones that are up above it. That scheme that yes, it does, the courtyard points out at the gas station, but. So did all these units. I mean, the units on the south side looked out over the gas station. It's not a lot different. The fact that the courtyard sees the gas station, to my eye, is not, you know, there's no public up there. It's just the units. So that's the scheme that I was thinking we would see, and it I don't think we lose anything with this a scheme that direction. You do, obviously, you probably would see residential units across here with a covered courtyard entry to the office / retail space, but so I'll let others chime in on this, on the massing and the singular option that we're seeing.
My concerns on this massing, which can be remedied,
mm-hmm.
is we have very flat walls. And it's not even just around the outside, it's straight up in the courtyards. And I realize it's a very contemporary building. It's they're going to do, I'm sure, a lot with color, and but it mm-hmm. just I'm scared that in the first 15 years we're not going to see relief with all these trees that we're seeing in this design.
It's all the
green. We're going to see. And my other concern, too, is the hanging gardens do look very lush, and I'm wondering how lush they're going to be in the wintertime. I'm wondering how lush the courtyard's going to be, considering it's very limited sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's, I mean, you know, we talk about things that they come back with in the next meeting, you know, maybe a little more detail around the landscaping than past projects, since that is going to be very sensitive to plant material selection.
Well, and also,
in my mind,
this is opened up to, you know, the higher you go, the windier it is, the, you know, harsher. I mean, we do rooftop decks in the city, and it's tough. It's we can grow anything in the summertime. In the wintertime, it's very tough.
Mm-hmm.
It gets windy, it dries out, it, you know, you think, well, it's wet all the time. No, it the wind
takes the moisture
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it takes the moisture out of the soil. It's
mm-hmm.
it's tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does the board feel about the second story and above averaging of setbacks?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that.
Okay.
So I'm not quick to dismiss 20-foot required setbacks for without a good exchange. And I understand that the courtyard is made possible by taking up that north setback, but I don't believe the courtyard has a significant public benefit, whereas the 20-foot setback does.
Well, especially if it ends up being office.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean, I think that's, I'm concerned about that it was office and now it's retail office. I don't know that the city has any purview once 5 years into it that it doesn't become office. Does that matter? I mean, are we, if we assume that it will become office because retail isn't viable here, are we okay with that? I think that's to me, that's where our point of discussion should be.
Mm-hmm.
On which one is the app? Street, 4th Street.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a street.
Yeah. Well, another thing, I went by the site, and I do think that north side is kind of interesting. I mean, 4th Avenue is basically acting as an alley. It's pretty, it's got amazing number of mailboxes, and it's got a lot of stuff out there. And I think that this stretch of mature trees that are existing is actually providing a lot of benefit because it's a screen for everything that's going on behind it. And I know the site plan says save if possible, but in many ways I feel like the setback would help preserve those trees. I think that they're nice trees. You can tell me, mm-hmm. Scott, but
I'd have to go look and see what.
But, you know, it's very green. They're a combination of evergreens and, mm-hmm. you know, and deciduous. And so I think that's my concern, is that that actually is providing a foil for this alley that's developed, and the building going to the property line may harm that. There's a berm there right now, and you know, it'd be interesting to see an Arbis report and what the prognosis is for those guys.
I mean, the survey shows, at least look like one, two, the conifers are the closest maybe to the property line. Mm-hmm. If they tagged them correctly, do we know, are those, would they be affected with excavation and for the?
No, we had the arborist out twice, and so.
Come to the, just in case.
So we had the arborist out twice. He's the same arborist that worked on Arte, and all those trees have been saved. And his opinion is on average, the expectation, because of the tree type, they can live. We got maples there. We have an oak, different than on the pines on the 4th Street side, not mm-hmm. so, but on the 4th Avenue side. And we've been very protective of those, even when we widened the street, because we did widen 4th Avenue for parking. And they've done very well this summer.
Okay, right. To your point, Susan, are we concerned with the fact that it may switch from retail to office? I'm less concerned, I think, about that than just does the massing work on that north side, and is there enough, benefit to grant that variation, which is would
it's
have to be
more than minor.
Yeah, it is more than minor.
2 to 20 is more than a minor deviation in setback. So.
But I agree with I think what Susan said, that it just adds interest to not have. To split it up, mm-hmm. have the variation.
Brad, you were gonna.
Talking about that north side, and the south is related. I have concern about just kind of the large expanse of concrete at the lower levels. I know it's kind of in the elevations. It's kind of hidden by landscaping and trees right now. I'm not as familiar with 4th Avenue East. There's a lot of stuff right there. Are you concerned at all, Susan, about this large amount of concrete on the north elevation and the south elevation? Kind of, I have the same concerns for.
Yeah, actually, this might be a question for the applicant, because looking at the north, when I was out there, I was trying to. I believe we're dropping from the street down to this garage entry. You're diving down some. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because mm-hmm. this street is, it's low up here. So.
I'm just worried, we have a couple trees out front and the concrete scored. It's like, yeah, well, that's still like 50, 70 feet of concrete, mm-hmm. 12 feet tall.
Well, and I guess what I'm coming back to is there's no sidewalk there. There's none required. Like I said, this whole area is just working as functioning as an alley. Do we care?
If there's no sidewalk there, then a lot of my concerns kind of alleviated. I wonder about maybe the south side.
Yeah.
I know we have that existing hedge there that's significant, but I know we're also not supposed to consider landscaping. To replace, the architecture, and that's a lot of concrete. So I'd like to just see, what their plan is for detailing that and screening that. We've required, metal, screens mm-hmm. with, all sorts of, decorative elements before. So that's something that I'd like to see details on in the future.
Question for the applicant. Is there a sidewalk required by Public Works on the north side? Do you recall?
This actually ties back to Arate, as we had a choice between making the street wider, which we weren't required to do, and provide parking, or provide the sidewalk. If you provide the sidewalk, all the trees go. So the choice was to widen it about 3 feet or so, or 4 feet, to get to the parking, but the sidewalk was not required specifically.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an interesting option. I'd like to choose. These are two totally different choices, but okay.
Well, with the bollards and, you know, stopping the cut-throughs, it's less of a street and more of a access to parking for X number of units, the existing condos that are on the north of that. I have a question. It's beyond my pay grade, so to speak. Are we not required to have van parking in this with increased headroom? I mean, we've got 9 feet floor to floor, and that doesn't, there's no structure built into that. So how do we get, how do we do van parking, or is it a trade-off, something over it?
No, we actually plan on van parking because we know to keep all the utilities like the sprinklers offset so that you can, you need 8 foot, 2 inches.
Clear.
And we can achieve that.
Okay.
With 9 feet?
Yes.
In 9 floor to floor?
Okay. Yes.
So there's no insulation and there's nothing over
Well,
there.
There's, it's the way you insulate the floor above, but okay. We can make it work. And,
okay.
And we've dealt with that at RRT.
Yeah, I mean, obviously 9 foot floor to floor is, that's minimal. 12 inches of structure. Is this, are we thinking this is a type one base with PT slab kind of thing and then just pick up point loads in that? Okay.
It says 9 foot floor to floor, all the way up.
All the way up, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the retail frontage has to be 15 feet?
No, because this is not a, Tony, am I correct? Because it's not a pedestrian-oriented street, we don't fall into the requiring the 13-foot minimum retail ceiling height, is that right?
Page at the back of our package.
Yeah. Oh no, you're fine. Yeah, you can look.
Well, code or not, it's
no. I thought it was just simply the fact that it has to be a sidewalk, not
right.
Not the full.
It'd just be along pedestrian-oriented streets.
Okay. So it doesn't.
Yeah, that was my mistake on the in the staff report.
Okay. Let's see. So it wasn't really stated, but there it appears that there is a kind of a formal request to do variation in that setbacks on. All three, no, just the north side?
North
and
west.
West.
Right, okay. I guess this would be something for next time for me would be to see.
Code compliant.
Well, and if we're in whatever was generating these massing models is to do the transparent zoning envelope showing, you know, the step backs where we protrude out of and, you know, that kind of a thing, and seeing that the averaging works. I mean, I'm not, I recognize that the alley there on 4th Avenue could work quite well without a absolute 20-foot setback for those upper stories. But I'd need to see, you know, how it works and what the advantages are for granting that. Similarly on 4th Street, you know, it's
would you be willing though if you grant that to not have some relief, at least stare it back or something? It is a straight up and down wall.
Well, the massing
from the north side, it's the progression really is
North and south both are. That's, there it is. That arrow is straight up and down.
Well, I'm looking at the 3D massing, and there we've, I mean, we've got other things we've looked at recently that are, you know.
Yeah, but are they asking for a variance? I mean.
No, but they're on much more public streets where there are, you know, where the pedestrian, you know, vantages and visibility is as much or more important than it is here. I'm kind of just throwing it out there, just thinking for.
It's conceptual. It's not that.
For next time. I mean, certainly the color variations and, you know, the different textures and siding materials will help a lot. The north side of any building around here in the middle of winter, you don't see form, you see color, if you even see that at all. So that will help differentiate it a bit. South side or southeast side, technically, was what we're looking at, you know, a little bit east of south, has a lot different story or different advantages to using the sun to create form.
I think it's a fair comment, though. I was initially with Tim thinking, yeah, that's the north side. You can do a lot with color, but they're requesting a variance. I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, if they're requesting that variance, I think we should push for more benefit to the public. If they're moving, you know, was it 15 feet? We can get a lot more variance. And even if it's not on the north side, we can maybe push for it somewhere else, like in the courtyard, you know, because that is supposed to be a main public attraction, you know, that's one of the features, you know. So yeah, because of the variance, I think we can request a little bit more than we have on maybe some of the past projects that have had more flatter elevations.
Just to remind you, your criteria, your main criteria for the variation is that it results in superior design. Mm-hmm. So it really has to be something more than what you would otherwise get.
But it doesn't explicitly say it has to be to benefit the public. It just has to be a superior design, correct?
No, but I think superior design benefits the public.
Okay.
I don't know if we're talking about the EUD kind of public benefit, no. But what's the exterior, what does the public see of the project?
But it doesn't, it's not stipulating that the public has access to some of these spaces that are, quote, public spaces.
I'm not saying
spaces.
More courtyard right. or something like
no,
that.
No, but I would say from the outside, especially on the north side, because people are going to be viewing that quite a bit. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you have on Fifth Street, you have that large condo looking directly at this. So, I don't know, I think that is an important, I think the north and the south sides are going to be some of the most visible sides of this project. What are we presenting to the public?
And I will come back to
a lot of concrete.
Yep. Well, concrete and very straight up and down.
Yeah.
Which, if it were just a normal project, Tim is right. We have allowed that.
Yeah.
The antique mall, we allowed a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But they are asking for a variance, and it's, I think we need to be a little bit picky. And plus, we weren't given three models.
Well, yeah, so. I'll talk about that too.
What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
But I can do it when we're wrapping up, or I don't know if our deliberation is done yet.
I just kind of had a question for everybody. Make sure I'm not just an outlier here, but in this view in particular is what I was thinking of is if we are going to have retail, if they are going to have retail there along 4th, that's Avenue there, right? I keep getting them confused.
Street,
the west side. How does everyone feel about the landscaping? You know, fairly what's shown is a fairly significant landscaping buffer between the what would be the front of that retail and the, you know, the sidewalk, the pedestrian walkway there.
So the question is, how do you access the real estate?
Well, I guess that'd be part of it. Yeah, I mean, that's part of the question maybe too that I wasn't really thinking of, but yeah.
See, it's all set up as the intention is going to be office.
Oh, it
is.
Well, and that's my, yeah, maybe that's where my skeptical
mind
is going.
So yeah, it'd be a cool restaurant, but you know, as far as a store of some kind, it's very tough.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in, I don't deal with stores or anything like that in my professional life, but if I were to come and be looking for a space to rent for my business that I want people to come to and, you know, and patronize it, you know, that may not be the best for visibility, almost kind of like it's set up. Like, oh, well, you know, we tried, but now we're on to what we can fill it with, on to the next step.
I'd like to ask the applicant, did you guys consider just bringing residential use to the ground instead of office?
Well, from a code perspective, we don't think we can without first getting some kind of retail off the face, but we're pretty confused about that part of the code at this point. So in terms of the retail use, you know, little brother from Deru has no visibility directly from the street as such. It depends on its reputation, and they've been very busy. And they access from the courtyard, so.
Yeah. Well, I think, thanks.
Yeah.
I think that we should just look at this site, too. I mean, that Arte is on
Central.
Central, yes. That we call it Central, 85th, whatever. And so it gets, you know, it gets more visibility. And this site, I think we should think about the design of this and the pedestrian nature of this as it's a transition, right, as you're moving from the business and downtown up the hill into residential. And it's multifamily residential, but it all comes to ground. I mean, there's office across the street. This is an office building, very, you know, some suburban character. Office park building. So I, you know, that may affect how we think about the nature of this project. Is it residential? You know, could it be treated more as a full residential building, as assessed as a residential building, and kind of is the office getting in the way? I guess it's certainly very low-ceilinged office and not very visible to anybody. So, I wonder about that.
So, Susan, do you have any concerns versus retail versus office in this location?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think retail is probably really tough.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be one thing if it wasn't a gas station on the corner, but that gas station is a barrier to walking. You know, people are going to go the other side of the street. Walking up around the gas station just isn't a pleasant space. I don't know what its prognosis is for how long it will be there. Probably
Like it's roughly the same size as this parcel that's got a lot more options. So,
right.
I mean, it's a matter of time before, you know.
But I think it's also pretty, seems busy.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's busy. Plus, I would imagine with Park Place, you know, or Urban, it's going to there's going to be a huge increase of pedestrian traffic. I don't feel like, I mean, probably there's going to be something in there that is a mix between what is considered retail and, you know, whether it's a mortgage, you know.
Dennis.
Yeah, something that will...
something that's more destination.
Yeah, so I don't think that the renting of this space is going to be any issue.
Okay.
I think we just need to concentrate on, you know, if we're going to grant variances, what are we going to get in return?
Right.
I think just one last thought on I think the applicant asked early on, which is probably a good question relative to this conversation. How should the sidewalk be treated? And as I'm looking at this diagram, what happens on the south side may be different than what happens on the north side, just in terms of its visibility from the central way.
Right.
So maybe it is a more urban treatment on the south leg that gives you the visibility into potential retail spaces.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, that's actually a good point. That's the part of the building that's screened by that hedge right now.
Mm-hmm.
Though that I can't imagine that will stay once construction is under.
Seems unlikely. Yeah. Because we're still going down a floor there for parking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it looks in our plan like it's really tall. tall by the time it's said and done. It's not.
Mm-hmm. The overall building?
No, that little section where, I mean, if it's...
The wall.
Oh, the wall. It looks, and our darn drawings make it look huge. It's not quite as big as what it looks. And those trees are junipers. It's not the most amazing hedge on. They're cool. It's nice, but it's not. If they do get lost, it's something that is replaceable and with size right away.
Yeah, and I'm not sure we can say the same thing about the trees on the north.
The other side, yeah.
Be good to go look at those again. I mean, and that's the trees on the north. If they're significant trees and they're saved, that's that north wall then is behind, you know, mature trees. Mm-hmm. And that's something to be, you know, to think about. Because interestingly, that elevation, I think, does it show them? Is the massing?
I was trying to see what
a couple.
Well, even in their pictures in the front, I was looking to see which.
Yeah.
But these are not. This isn't accurate because this grade stays high. But these guys should be the real trees. I just had the impression that it was pretty green and lush. Mm-hmm.
And you can see from the picture, it's very shaded. You know, kind of indicating this. You know how full, how dense that foliage is there. Picture number 11, I guess, is the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm.
So that puts that north wall in a little bit different light, if that really green edge is preserved. But it may need more setback to do it.
I have a detail question. On the east elevation, on the north and south vertical sections, there are no windows shown. Why is that?
Because it's on a property line. It's too close to the property line.
It's too close to the property line. Okay, typically. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So, what this narrow strip between the buildings, what's that going to be like? Anybody? Between Arte and this project,
right.
Is it 10 feet or less?
I'm trying to think where to. It's about a 6-foot separation between the property line and the building of Arte. So what we have is in the green portion, that would be Arte, and we're learning a lot about dogs, so that will be our pet area for both communities. And then when you move to the So then you see the landscaped deck right here that you get. So that's the property line, and then it's held back 8 feet, a little over 8 feet, actually 9 feet from the east line. So that the people at Arte, when they're looking down, they kind of have a little garden to look on, as well as the people from Verdun. And then that's the common area that has windows that look into it.
So the pet area is lidded over?
It doesn't have to be, no. So this area right here, right where you see the shaded part on the north side would probably be a concrete wall. Our plan was to put extra bicycles storage there, though we ended up with extra at Arte. And then from that shaded line going to the north would be the pet area.
Currently at Arte, in that kind of right in, I think it's right,
right
there.
There. That would
right
be the
there.
Pet area that we're talking
but
about.
There's some substantially below grade right there at Arte, some doors or something?
There's two windows to our operations office.
So it'd be just window wells that we have.
So that would, so you would get to the property line, then it jumps up to the pet area up on top of the first pedestal, the first floor pedestal, roughly 10 feet up.
Something like that.
Okay. Okay. I noticed, too, at Arete, there's some real creative placement of HVAC units, things that are just kind of suspended on or on suspended canopies and things like that. Even in the drive to the parking garage, there's some there. Is how is all that going to get handled here? Are these all mini splits that?
The only mini splits that we would use is for a retail or office. Otherwise, we just use standard in-floor heating, which is what we use for all the residential.
Okay.
Solar-backed in-floor heating, hydronic heat.
But when the sun's not shining, what's is it? Gas fired, the boilers for the.
Yeah, we have the average. I mean, they're gas fired boilers backed up by solar. Average cost for our natural gas for both hot water and heat per suite, including common areas, is less than $6 a month. Okay. Solar works, even in Seattle.
Okay. And on this project, where the solar is on every piece of roof we can find that has the right.
You know, solar hot water is amazingly effective, and so you don't need a lot of space to make it work.
So is it on the, again, looking at that southwest massing, the preferred, is it on the...
So, for instance, you can put it on the sloped roofs, you know, in the city of Kirkland, you don't allow a lot of flexibility with solar, which is a sore point with us. But, you know, we have enough space here to put in a lot of solar panels, way more than we would need.
Okay. And I noticed that Arete, the walkways, I'll call them the hallways going across, the none of them are covered to the extent that they're covered from the one above, but the uppermost one is not covered. Is that same as going to be here?
Same thing.
Okay. Just essentially a metal bridge with the required guardrail or guard. Okay.
Well, plus the art piece that it attaches to those bridges.
That is sort of attached to the faces of...
To the west face, yes.
Oh, okay.
And then it's an open courtyard to the backside as well. So you have a front side common area courtyard and a backside common area courtyard.
Robert, maybe one thing that I could highlight there is looking into the courtyard, there's the street level courtyard that you come into, but then at the back there where you see the landscaping spilling over, that's actually a second level courtyard that runs all the way to the back of the residential L2 level. So we're, whereas in Arte, there's one long, deep courtyard that's all at street level. Here we're separating a little bit, so there's some private residential courtyard up above, but creates a lot of space for our residents there away from the street level.
And that's on the second level plan. There's a variety of lines shown. I'm reading some as object above, and I don't...
Yeah, so on the second level plan, I'll let Robert get to that on the floor plans.
So you can see where it says second level terrace in the middle of the courtyard. So you go back 44 and a half feet to the first level, and then you go 63 feet farther back on the second level.
And that little box that you see in the middle there is a stairwell going up. And
that little thing.
Yeah, and that's the bridges there that are about halfway back on the second level terrace. So they're set a good distance back from the...
So we didn't get that particular plan, but if you go back to the second level plan, which is our page 35.
Yeah. Which one?
You have them deeper in your progression there, Robert. So this shows the second level right here, and what you see is it looks more like a concrete hatch at the second level courtyard, but that's actually all planter there so that we can facilitate planting of some trees there and the vegetation that'll cascade over. And then the diagonal cross hatch is the actual open courtyard area on level
that's
two.
That's the line that's from there on back is walkable courtyard?
Is all walkable courtyard. The area in front there is roughly a 10-foot area. And that's where we would look for some feedback, too, is do we have more? Do we have something less there? But we thought that gave us that, bring some of that lushness into the inner courtyard there.
These units, do they directly access it?
At that particular grade, they have windows at that grade. And what we've found that we do along those is we do plantings along the edges there to kind of create that buffer between the pedestrians that are on that level and the windows of those folks.
So somebody from this unit to use that courtyard comes out here, or they're in the kitchen. The studios have their own kitchens, but somebody that doesn't, they come to here and then exit out into the courtyard there.
Correct, yes. Okay. So there's a few different options for them to get to that.
Okay. Floors above this, though, have to come down, and they get to use this, as does Arte?
Correct.
People as well?
Yes. And, okay. And as we work our way up through the building, the common that is at the back of the courtyard begins to incorporate some outdoor terrace levels as well.
Has it got smaller? Has it moved?
Yeah, higher, it gets a little bit smaller just line, to provide some outdoor space on those upper levels.
Okay.
But this courtyard is only 20 feet wide.
Yeah.
So there's probably not a lot of common use.
Well, and plus some of this planning.
And that's the other thing with the shallow floor to floor. I assume all the plantings are going to be in raised planters. If there's a tree, we're going to have a planter 24 to 30 inches minimum. And then, 18 deep. So everything's going to come up from the floor.
Because we don't have enough structural depth to, right. Yeah.
Details for next.
Yeah. Okay.
I have some things I'd like to
do. Do you have a list of things
time.
You'd like to? Actually, yeah, so if you just start off and then we'll see where we go.
I just want to ask the rest of the board. I'm proposing that we ask for at least one other massing option, if not two. And I would like to see a code compliant option that shows the setbacks and shows an alternative. And I think that there's a lot of really good things about this design. I think it's very interesting. I think it's very fresh compared to things we've seen. I think pulling off the hanging staggered gardens is actually going to be a real challenge in the building type with the heights that are given and the scale of the open space. But willing to
the exposures
and the exposure. So I think I'd like to see a code compliance scheme. I'd like to see at least one alternate. I'd like to see it shown, as you say, without the landscaping, because I don't think we can count on it, and so we need to evaluate the massing without
the naked massing.
The naked massing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's basically. And I'm not saying that I won't come back and say that this is the right approach, but I feel that we weren't shown three alternatives.
Well, I think they actually did themselves a disservice tonight, because this is a nice design.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But the point of this conceptual conference is to see three options.
Right.
And
because I think the thing about it is that you can't build apartments on this lot, and there's going to have to be some open space in the middle of it, even with that 20-foot setback. You have to have something in the middle. So, maybe something that's open in the other direction. Maybe if you had, pull out some of the other some of the ones that you set aside and didn't bring forward. So
or something, or just thinking out loud, if that courtyard was oriented a little bit more towards the southwest corner of the property, you know, you're going to get a lot more light in that way, or something along those lines. Even if it's just as an alternative, even if it's just to, you know, maybe it still doesn't work, but we can at least see something like that.
It's the gas station that is, you have to feel for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I wouldn't normally be the one saying, you know, because I think the light is just incredibly important. Someone will have a view of the gas station. You can't have a building here and not look somewhat at it. They are pretty much doing a concrete wall so that it's above, you know, so you're looking over it as opposed to at it. The only thing I will say is they're asking a lot of variances for this one. And I don't know, I'm not opposed to this one at all. And probably we will end up going with it, but you know, I think we need a little bit more in return.
The images we don't see are the ones we never see. I mean, that's the crux of it, is there may be a better option that doesn't meet the applicant's pro forma and the number of units and et cetera, but there's a lot getting packed into a very small volume. There's no indication on here how the structure is going to work, where columns are coming down in that parking garage. I mean, it's already tandem managed parking with 15-foot compact stalls. So there's a lot going in there. But I agree with Susan. I'd love to see at least one other true option that is a different massing, whether it's hugely different than the code-compliant wedding cake that is, you know, step back on two sides with, you know, the retail slash office that gets to be out at the zero lot line, just to see what's, you know, what we're not seeing, I guess. I assume that the zoning for the gas station is the same, and let's say that in 10 years, you know, people go elsewhere to get their gasoline or something else, and that gets redeveloped. You know, what is this? What kind of neighbor does this become at that point in the future? Things change quickly. I mean, it's amazing how we lost White Swan. It's gone. There were two competing gas stations. Now there's just one. There's used to be two up at Houghton. Now there's just Jackson's up there. There's always going to be Costco. So it may be that, you know, this isn't, there's no gas station anymore, and all these things that we're so concerned about are a moot point. For a 100-year building, I think we need to think about that as an eventuality that would affect our decisions and our recommendations now.
It strikes me that may be a good thing to include in that massing diagram, that because what could happen there probably influences some courtyard decisions.
Yeah.
Right, because it's the same height. Mm-hmm. So, but it's starting at a lower elevation, so it'll come up.
A little bit lower, but it's pretty, doesn't climb a whole lot out of that street.
Only the top floor then would look over that building.
Yeah. I mean, it's entirely possible, too. Somebody says, oh, let's take that little odd nail salon office building that's next to it, and, you know, there's enough demand for a bigger building to make the parking work better or something on that gas station site that this becomes, you know, a larger site that is Arate to the direct east and this directly north, and, you know, nice corner frontage to which mixed use really works well. I just think we got to think in those terms, because
the gas station.
Yeah, the gas station. The gas station and the nail salon together is a larger parcel that has, you know, some benefits for a bigger development.
Also, I don't know, it's probably not in our purview to discuss the use on the ground floor, but I'm I'm ambivalent about retail there myself, and office. Office, I think, would work better, but if the code treats retail and office the same, and we're giving a variance for a setback for either one, I'm not so sure that retail or residential going to the base would be a bad thing if that was of interest to the applicant.
But if there's no, am I correct? If there's no retail / office, there is no, we don't get to, yeah, nothing gets no to come variance. Out to the.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think this is going to be office. I don't think it's going to be.
Oh, retail. I think it's going to be office. I'm fine with that, because across the street is this odd little piece of commercial zoning that's a house, right, that has, I don't know what's in it now. I've never even looked at the signs. It's office use. I could easily see office use working really well here.
Is office treated the same as retail by code? I thought that was the whole point.
No, so that's the issue.
Yeah, I guess I didn't make my point clear. Yeah.
But it's subject to interpretation, though, right? I mean,
well, I think there is a broad range of retail uses. Some of them aren't.
Mortgage office or something.
It could be a bank or a mortgage office or something like that. And so if the 0-foot setback was an incentive put in place to encourage retail, albeit it probably wasn't thought out in a place like this where retail may not be the greatest option, but I think the applicant's going to try to find some compromise to get that for obvious reasons.
Because
the other thing that comes along with it is 100% lot coverage,
right,
as opposed to 80% lot coverage.
Right.
Well, I think it's going to be really hard to make this viable with a 9-foot floor to floor for any kind of commercial use. So
that means an 8-foot ceiling on a large, well, an
8-foot ceiling
with some drops and some conduits for
yeah.
for plumbing and things like that. Yeah, but it's up to the applicant to prove that it'll work.
I don't know. Is it going to be a new building in an area that is becoming highly desirable? I don't think that it will be that hard to
get true retail in there.
Not true retail like a store, but I think the
office retail, the bank, the mortgage.
So I think the house across the street, it was a mortgage retail or mortgage banker, and now I think it's a licensed masseuse.
Oh, okay. I mean, do you see Verizon? I mean, T-Mobile has the in White Swan now. They're there. Do you see Verizon or somebody else like that just jumping at the chance to get 4th Street address? And I mean, yeah.
I don't think that renting out that space, it being brand new and right there by
Urban Kirkland. Yeah Kirkland Urban. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Probably true. Okay. How does everybody else feel about Susan's notion of at least one other option and a code-compliant option? And again, I think you're assuming we're just seeing some real quick massing studies, nothing to this level of detail.
Yeah, I think we should take a step back.
Yeah.
I agree too.
And I guess my thoughts, kind of a variant of that, is if they are asking for significant, deviation, to really help me understand what the benefit is we are receiving. You know, maybe that's just helping convince me a little bit more that if we grant that deviation that we're getting, that the public is getting the benefit.
They're getting a better building. But
exactly, yeah.
Right. Okay. What do we want to see in terms of just similar floor plans, 3D massing studies?
Yeah, I think.
Also a light study, just because, that's going to be...
Actual shadows.
Yeah, because it's going to be very sunny in some locations, especially considering they're considering this hanging garden effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very shady in a lot of portions. You can't do the same plant material all the way around the building. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the shadow study, their stepping back is going to prove beneficial for them because it is going to cut the light, let the light get back into the street behind.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is some of these roof elements appear to be above the height limit to me. So that's another piece of the code compliance.
Question to the applicant. Is this, program-wise, is this SketchUp, Revit? What's the easiest?
This is
SketchUp. It is
SketchUp?
Yeah, okay. SketchUp. Okay.
We can do similar models as the gray, you know, model with massing there.
And we can do some studies.
Yeah, I know you can just.
We can throw some shading in from different angles.
The other thing I seem to always on every project harp, I'd love to see some surrounding elements included in the SketchUp model. Nothing super fancy, and certainly don't do the photo match off of Google Earth where you get the gas station in almost rendered quality versus this. Just simple massing is really handy for us to see. The nail salon's a piece of cake to do. I assume Arete is in the can. Dumb that one down. Don't give us photorealistic there, but show stuff in its correct relationships. It's very beneficial.
And including the potential for the gas station site.
So. Yeah. Just a
and that can just be
transparent
zoning.
Blue envelope. Yeah. That's always real handy to see. Yeah. So staff, do we don't continue a conceptual design conference, do we, or do we, how does?
No, I think if you're just asking to come back to another conceptual design conference, we'll schedule it when the materials are available.
Okay, is that what we board think is the course of action?
I think so.
Okay. Okay. Does the applicant have any specific questions? We'll eventually make a motion to. We don't even do that, do we? What's the correct Robert's procedure here?
Yeah, you don't need to. I think the other cautionary tales we've talked about before on these variations is you don't have any public comment yet, so you can only be so committal until you get to a public part of it, the design response conference. So
gotcha.
You may think, oh yeah, this is a great deal, but you know, the public may come in with different thoughts about that. So you can give some direction as to what you think at the conceptual level, but some of that's got to be deferred to the design response conference.
Okay.
Well, I think all the more reason though for the public to have options to consider.
To have seen. Mm-hmm. Yes. I agree. Okay. Does the applicant have any specific questions of what we've discussed?
No, we don't. Thank you.
No. Okay. We don't have to pick a date then because it's up to them when they come back, correct? Okay. Okay. I think that's it on our. We have no administrative reports or other DRB discussion, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At all? Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Item 7 is adjournment. Moved. Is there a second? Moved and second. We adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.